The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Does morality have anything to do with who is born again? That is a question we'll be pondering today on Grace in Focus, and we thank you for joining us. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Our home is in North Texas, and we would love for you to know more about us. Find us at faithalone.org. You'll see there many articles that we've published, and you'll have access to our bookstore and other resources. That's faithalone.org. Now, with today's discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Hi, Bob. Today we're going to talk about chapter 4 of your book.
What book?
The Gospel is Still Under Siege.
The Gospel is Still Under Siege. All right.
And chapter 4 is Do Good Christians Need Everlasting Life?
Now, there's a loaded title.
Yeah, that's a really provocative title.
What do I mean by good Christian?
Yeah, I would think some people already think that don't all good Christians already have everlasting life? How can a Christian, especially a good Christian, not have everlasting life?
Well, you know, it's funny, Mike, because a lot of people think the word Christian means the believer, the born-again person. But the word Christian only occurs three times in the New Testament. Most people don't know that. Acts 11:26, the believers were, or the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. They didn't call themselves Christians. They were called Christians, and it meant something like little Christ or followers of Christ or something. And then Peter talks about if anyone suffers as a Christian. And the only other example is where Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." Well, suffering as a Christian would be suffering because of my open confession of my faith in Christ. And I think the disciples were first called Christians. This would be followers of Christ. And so I think that what Agrippa is saying is, "Paul, you almost persuade me to become a follower." I think Agrippa already believed at that point, because Paul says, "Do you believe the prophets? I know you believe the prophets." And he's talking about believing the prophets concerning the Messiah. So I think Paul was saying, "I know you're a believer, Agrippa, but I'd like you to be a Christian." It's someone who not only believes, but is actively walking in fellowship with God. They're actively obeying. Really, all believers should be Christians, but not necessarily. And, of course, in today's language, and that's what I mean by the title, Good Christians, Christian no longer means a believer who's walking in fellowship. Christian just means someone from the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
The way I'm using the term, you could be a good Christian and not be born again. You could be a person who's very nice, who morally looks very upright. Remember Donnie and Marie Osmond? Well, you probably don't. You're not old enough.
I do remember them from my childhood.
Okay, very good. When you were a little baby, you remember Donnie and Marie. But I remember them, and they're from a Mormon family, and wonderful family, very nice Christian people, if you could call Mormons Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, that doesn't mean they're born again. Now, I don't know if Donnie or Marie have, at this point in their life, come to the point where they've believed in Jesus for everlasting life. They haven't if they believe Mormon doctrine, because Mormon doctrine is work salvation, and they also have a faulty view of who Jesus is. But having said that, there are lots of people who are evangelicals who believe that Jesus died and rose again, believe he's the Son of God. And yet the question, and they're really nice people, they're very moral, and yet they've never believed in Jesus for their eternal destiny.
Yeah.
And so my answer would be to the question, do good Christians need everlasting life? The answer would be absolutely.
Yeah,
because you can be a really nice person and not born again.
Yeah, I guess the way the world accepts the term Christian is really just someone who says, "I'm a Christian and I go to church." Now you're considered a Christian.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you believe Jesus' message of everlasting life.
Let me give you an example, Mike. Back in our 2006 conference, we had a kind of a controversy over the issue of whether you need to believe in Jesus for an irrevocable salvation, for a permanent salvation, for eternal life that can never be lost. And about half the people at our conference said that they were born again before they believed they were secure. Well, I remember as we were going back and forth, one of the people stood up and said, "You know, my parents were coming from an Assembly of God background, and the Assembly of God do not believe in the security of the believer. And he said, my parents never believed in eternal security, but they were the most wonderful Christians you would ever know. They're with the Lord now, and I'm going to see them. And you can't tell me that they're not just because they never believed in eternal security. I have lots of problems with that view. For one thing, he has no way of knowing that his parents never believed in eternal security. I'm sure there are lots of people in the Assembly of God that at some point in their life believed in the promise of everlasting life. But the other problem I have with that is, how is that any different from a Roman Catholic saying, my parents were Roman Catholics and they were the most wonderful Christians you'd never know, and you can't tell me that Roman Catholics aren't born again? Or how about a Mormon? This is the same thing about their Mormon parents, or Jehovah's Witnesses who say it about their Jehovah's Witness parents. And ultimately, if you carry that on, why not Muslim? Well, my parents were Muslims, and they were the most wonderful Muslims, and they did believe in Jesus. They believed Jesus is a prophet. They didn't believe he was God, but they did believe he was a prophet. And so you can't tell me my Muslim parents. I mean, where do we draw the line? Do people have to believe something? And if so, what do they have to believe? And my answer would be, it's not enough to believe Jesus existed. It's not enough to believe he was a prophet. It's not enough to believe he died on the cross for my sins and rose again. You must believe that by faith in him, you have an irrevocable salvation. And if you ever believe that, well, you're saved even if later you stop believing it, if later you lose your way.
Yeah.
We will rejoin in just a moment. But years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
It's interesting. The necessity to believe in an irrevocable salvation is not key for them. And that seems to kind of transition to the next section of this chapter, which I guess you talked about Catholics. It's like, looks like there was this effort to unify between Protestants and Catholics. And, you know, why do you think that came about, even though Protestants say we believe in faith only, but Catholics say, they don't know, you need faith plus works.
Right. There's been a movement in the last several hundred years, but especially in the last 20 to 30 years, to unify Catholics and Protestants. And part of this is moved by the fact that many people who are in the pro-life movement have worked together with Roman Catholics, because Roman Catholics oftentimes are pro-life, and so are evangelicals. And so they'll work together and they'll say, well, wow, these Roman Catholics are wonderful people. And so they conclude they're born again. And there have been books that talk about the fact that Catholicism believes in justification by faith, and so do evangelicals. It's funny, Catholics won't say justification by faith alone, but they'll say we believe in justification by faith. And, you know, there are even books. There's a book that Craig Blomberg was writing with a Mormon scholar about how great the divide between Mormon and evangelical. And in that book, they're arguing that, you know, your local Baptist church should be having combined youth group with the local Mormon assembly. You know, where do you draw the line? There has to be some kind of distinction. And so the question is morality what determines who's born again? And the answer would have to be no, because they're very moral atheists. Mm-hmm. They're very moral Muslims or Buddhists or Hindus. Mahatma Gandhi was a wonderful person.
Yeah.
He had a high regard for Jesus, too. Now, I don't know, maybe at some point in his life, he believed in Jesus before he went off the path and became a person who was this pacifist, I guess, Hindu who was seeking peace in India and peace with the Muslims in India. But, you know, the whole point of this is morality doesn't determine who's born again. What determines who's born again is what we believe. And so we can't say, my parents were wonderful Catholics. My parents were wonderful Assembly of God.
Yeah.
I don't care if your parents were great missionaries or your parents were seminary professors or, you know, your dad was the pastor of the largest church in America. None of that matters. What matters is whether your parents believed in Jesus for their eternal salvation. Now, of course, the works we do are important. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But we're not saved by works. We're saved by faith in Christ.
Yeah.
And no matter how moral we are, we can't have salvation apart from faith in Christ.
Yeah, this seems to actually tie in with your last chapter, right? In some sense, the Catholics are more honest. They call works works. But those Protestants who say you need to surrender, you need to obey, we won't call them works. We'll call them this faith. But that's not what faith means. And as you said, it's like salvation is not about behavior. It's about what someone believes.
Yeah, exactly. I remember I debated a Church of Christ pastor in Baytown, Texas years ago, and he was straight up that we're saved by a combination of faith plus works. And he said you have to believe, you have to obey, you have to confess, you have to repent, and you have to be baptized. And aside from the baptism, all the other things had to continue or you'd lose your salvation. So he was very straight up that it's not faith alone, it's faith plus works.
Yeah.
Lots of people are like that, and I think that's kind of refreshing because they're coming right out and saying that. But as you say, the evangelicals who say, well, no, it's by faith alone, but faith includes turning from sin, surrender, a desire to obey, obedience, following Christ, etc. Ultimately, they're saying it's by faith plus works too.
So ultimately, you know, what would you say to someone, hey, I'm a good Christian, but I don't know I have everlasting life?
Yeah. Well, see, that was my testimony. I was age 20. I think most people would have said I was a good Christian. I didn't smoke or chew or sleep around, and I was a teetotaler, and I didn't cuss. And I was, you know, a very self-righteous Pharisee, and I didn't know where I was going when I died. And I ended up talking to an Athletes in Action staff member, Warren Wilkie, and he convinced me through Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 that I was wrong and that I'd never make it to heaven by my works. And it wasn't enough to be committed and surrendered and turned from my sins. In fact, I had to realize that the only way was by faith in Christ apart from works. And I came to faith and I was born again. If you're a nice, wonderful Ozzie and Harriet kind of couple and you don't know where you're going when you die, well then believe Jesus when he says, he who believes in me has everlasting life. It's really that simple.
Amen. And remember,
keep
grace in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus. It's free by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, why is John's gospel such a key for evangelism? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.